Search me, Lord, and know me, Redeemer of my heart. Search me, know me, reveal my inmost part. Cover me with mercy, Lord, hold me in your arms. Wash me in your grace, O Lord, Redeemer of my heart. Search me, Lord, and know me, Redeemer of my heart.
The Old Testament readings coming from Isaiah chapter 55, verses 1 through 9, can be found on page 685. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you that have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and delight yourself in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Listen so that you may live. I will make you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. See, I made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander for the peoples. See, you shall call nations that you do not know, and nations that do not know you shall run to you, because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their way, and the unrighteousness their thoughts. Let them return to the Lord that have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. The New Testament reading comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 through 13, and can be found on page 172. I do not want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, that our ancestors were all under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud as in the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink. for they drunk the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. Nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them, and they were struck down in the wilderness. Now these things are carried as examples for us, so that we might not desire evil as they did. Do not become idolaters, as some of them did, as it is written. The people sat down to eat and drink, and they rose up to play. We must not indulge in sexual immorality, as some of them did, and 23,000 fell in a single day. We must not put Christ to test, as some of them did, and were destroyed by serpents. And do not complain, as some of them did, and were destroyed by the destroyer. These things happened to them to serve as example, and they were written down to instruct us, on whom the ends of the ages have come. So if you think you are standing, watch out that you do not fall. No testing has overcome you that is not common to everyone. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tested beyond your strength. But with the testing, he will also provide the way so that you may be able to endure it. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Lord, let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, and my mind be acceptable in thy sight, my Lord and my Redeemer. Amen.
Well, we didn't get out and change the sign this week, so what is the message? Who is faithful? God is. In spite of circumstances, in spite of what the world sees, in spite of what the world does. You see, what Paul is talking about in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, we know that Paul normally writes these letters, has written these letters to churches that are having a specific issue or a challenge with understanding and accepting the Word of God, whether it's idolatry, which is the case in this piece, or some other misdeed, or some misinterpretation. You know, and one of the things that we speak of in this one that Paul calls us to task on is this thing that happens to a lot of us. We see the things of the world, our culture, and we get carried away by the culture. We feel that it's better to go along and get along. When Jesus calls us to be set apart, to be holy, to be different. Different, not just to be different, but to be different to follow God, to follow what God teaches. Jesus says, I come not to usurp the law, I come to fulfill the law. And what does he mean by that? Well, the Ten Commandments, some people will tell you, well, Jesus comes, so the Ten Commandments are no longer relevant. That's not what Jesus said. He said, I come not to usurp the law, I come to fulfill the law. So the law is still valid. The execution of the law, the administration of the law, the way we follow the law is tempered with the sacrifices that Jesus Christ has made for us. Recognition that we follow the law not to earn salvation. We follow the law out of obedience to Christ Jesus because he's already paid the price for our sin. He's already guaranteed our salvation. It's already done. Yet, how are we to act towards our brothers and sisters? Jesus says when they ask him, what's the greatest of the commandments? He says what? Love thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second, no less than these, is to love thy neighbor as thyself. Pretty plain and simple. Well, there were people that probably well-intended at the time who thought, all right, so we're no longer under the dietary restrictions that you have in Leviticus and Deuteronomy. We're free to eat anything because there's nothing that goes into the mouth that makes us unclean. It's what comes out of the mouth that makes us unclean. Peter had that revelation, and that's been shared with the early Christian church. It's not what you eat that makes you unclean. It's what you say. So, what was happening was the Christian believers were going to the temples. Now, you know, you're in the world, not of the world. The culture of that day, the Roman culture and the Greek culture of that day, was they had multiple gods. There were polytheistic societies. They had the gods of Olympus, the Greeks. And the Romans had their own panoply of gods. And one of the great things for that was there would be feast days. There would be days of celebration. There'd be drunken times where they would celebrate Athena or Dionysus or one of their other gods. And there would be food. There would be drink. And there would be women and men. And people, Christians, would go there, and because they know there's only one God, so even if someone else mistakenly offers up this food to another God, there's nothing wrong with the food, as long as it's been cooked well. So they thought, well, we're Christians, we're saved by God, we're not under the law anymore, so we don't have to follow those dietary restrictions, and we can just go and revel and have fun and eat good food and do those things, because we're saved. As sin abounds, grace abounds even more. Well, let's just go and sin a lot, because that'll make grace abound more. No. Paul tells them that what they're supposed to be doing is that they are under this baptism of the Holy Spirit. When Jesus tells them that they must be born again from above, his late at night, his Nick at night conversation with Nicodemus. What must I do to have eternal life? You must be born again from above. That's the baptism by water and spirit. And we have the second commandment that Jesus gives us, that new commandment, in the upper room with his disciples when he gives us what we know as communion. His body which is given, his blood which is shed. Well, Paul is speaking to a community that has a lot of people who are Jewish based, and he's telling them in terms that they would understand. He says, I don't want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, that our ancestors were all under the cloud. How many have read Exodus chapter 16? And you know there was a cloud that followed them. That was the Lord in that cloud and took them out of Egypt when they were rescued from slavery. In Egypt, God was with them. And they all passed through the sea, the Red Sea. And all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And all ate the same spiritual food and drank all the same spiritual drink. For they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. The three things that are alluded to here are they're brought through the Red Sea by the power of God as a form of a baptism, right? Baptized in the water and the Spirit. And they receive, as they're wandering in the wasteland, in the desert, for those umpteen years, they're fed. What? Manna. From where? From heaven. The pigeons fall. The manna's there. They collect those. And not only that, but when they were thirsty, they had a spring of water from what? A rock. Imagine that. Paul's saying that rock is Christ Jesus. For they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. Nevertheless, God was not pleased with them. You know, they were told to go out of Egypt. God led them out of Egypt. That was a miracle. He takes them to the promised land and wants them to go in. They send 12 spies in to spy out the land. And 10 of them come back and say, oh, there are giants in the land and we're too weak. We'll be overpowered. We can't overcome them. And only two of them, Joshua being one, says, hey, we've got God with us. We can overcome. Well, they rebel and they wander around for the next however many years in the desert. And they wander around for a long time, so long that virtually everybody, except for the last two, have all died. Almost two generations of Israel expire. Why? Because they were disobedient. Because they hadn't followed what God had told them to do. God was not pleased with most of them, and they were struck down in the dark in the wilderness. That's verse 5. Now, these things occurred as examples for us. He's saying, look, this is the history that you know, and here's the history as it plays out in our current day occurrences. Oh, my goodness. This was just back in Christian times. This is back at, you know, A.D. 60, A.D. 50. Isn't some of this same stuff going on now? Oh, my goodness. The word is still relevant and valid yesterday and today. Now, these things occurred as examples for us so that we might not desire evil as they did. Do not become idolaters as some of them did. As it is written, the people sat down and eat and drank, and they rose up to play. We must not indulge in sexual immorality as some of them did, and 23,000 fell in a single day. We must not put Christ to the test as some of them did and were destroyed by serpents. And do not complain as some of them did and were destroyed by the destroyer. These things happened to them to serve as an example. What's the example? You live by faith. We live by following the Word of God. We live by doing what Jesus has commanded us to do. These things happened to them to serve as an example. Then, and us now. And they were written down to instruct us on whom the ends of the ages have come. So if you think you're standing, watch out that you do not fall. No testing has overtaken you that is not common to everyone. God is faithful, and He will not let you be tested beyond your strength. But with the testing, He will also provide the way out so that you may be able to endure it. Now, I'm not rising to the issue that's already dividing a lot of the churches, not just the Methodist Church, but a number of them on this sexual immorality piece. The word is what the word is. The test is, there's only one who's going to tempt you, deceive you, seek to lead you to death. That's Satan. Testing you to make you stronger, testing you to make you better. I mean, if there weren't tests, people wouldn't study. If people didn't study, they wouldn't gain knowledge. So what's bad about having a test? It's not a temptation. It's a test. There's a difference. The test is to build you up. The test is to make you stronger. See, the Ten Commandments were there. Yeah, you pull them up and you look at them and do this and don't do that. Right? But it's for your own good. Things to avoid because it takes you going off in the wrong way. When you look at idolatry, how many of you like fast cars? Wayne, yeah. How many of you like really good-looking cars? Expensive cars. Nice house. Big house. There we go, Thomas. Big house. On the beach, right? All right. It's one thing to like those things. It's one thing to desire those things. It's one thing to strive and aspire to have those things. But when they become the end-all, be-all, when they become the only thing that you're pursuing, and when they get to the point where you would give up anything and do anything to get them, then what have they become? They've become your God. That's idolatry. There, you shall have no other God before me. Love thy God with all thy heart, thy mind, thy soul, and thy strength. God first, and thy neighbor as thyself. You don't steal, you don't covet, you don't bear false witness, and you don't murder. What Paul is telling us to do is to function in the same realm, a realm of grace. Remember our baptism, that by the power of the Holy Spirit, the water is not just the water, it becomes water and spirit. And when we're baptized, the old sinful nature of us is baptized and dead in the water. And what rises out of that water is a new you, ready and filled with the Holy Spirit to do what? To do what God has created you to do. To allow the Holy Spirit to get in there and start sanctifying you through sanctification. In other words, moving you on to perfection, making you better than you could have ever gotten to yourself absent that. And to give you a focus for something other than that. And we're all receiving, we all receive, as we do in communion, the same nourishment, the same bread, the same blood, the same wine, the body which is given, the blood which is shed. For what? For our salvation. We don't go to a temple and worship other gods and eat the food that was offered there. We don't go off in drunken revelry. We keep faith with the God who's blessed us with the spouse that we have. We keep faith with a God who is our God through baptism and through communion that we have again and again, not as a temptation. No testing has overtaken you that is not common to everyone. Virtually everybody here is going to face the same tests. Right, Alex? But if you take nothing away from this whole scripture, God is faithful. He will not let you be tested beyond your strength. Now, is that to say that you're not going to be killed? No. First century Christians, they were tested. And we have the phrase or term martyr because of something that happened to some of them. A gentleman by the name of Justin Martyr. Even to your life, the loss of your life, you'll be tested. But with the testing, he will also provide the way out so that you may be able to endure it. This life that we have, we're going to lose. As I said Friday, this perishable body must take on imperishability. This is going to go into the dust, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. I'm not urging it to happen really, really quick. I'd like it to be around. I'd like to be around long enough to see my grandchildren grown up and married, college, great-grandchildren. Yeah, anyway, you know how that goes. But there's no test that we're going to face that's beyond what we can endure. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. I don't have to surrender to a world I can overcome. I don't have to surrender to a culture. I can remain true and faithful. I don't have to go along just to go. I don't have to go along just to get along. We're called to be, and we're set apart to be different and holy. Because who do you belong to? 2 weeks ago, where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be. Who do you treasure more than anything else? That's where your heart is. God is with you. His peace. Shalom.